most of you are familiar with Aaron, and I know Aaron from a different way than most of you do. Aaron grew up in a community, and his parents were both school teachers there at Greenwood Mennonite, and his grandfather was pastor at Trestler Church, so he has a lot of roots here at the Mennonite community. But I didn't know all that when I met Aaron. I met Aaron when he was already in high school, and the one thing about Aaron back then, and he carried with him for a long time, was Aaron was cocky. Boy, that guy was cocky. He is. And he carried that with him a long time. But you know what I've seen in the last couple of years? What disappeared is that cockiness. And there's a humility that rests on him now, a beautiful humility that rests on him. Yeah. Aaron's been more than a friend to me. He's been a son. He's had a lot of dinners at our house. We've done a lot of praying together, taken walks together, and talked about deep, deep, deep stuff. Last week, we were up here during prayer time, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I prophesied over Aaron, and the things that the Lord has in store for this man is unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's an anointing on his life that just isn't going to quit. And I tell you all, keep an eye on this guy. This guy is going to be something. This guy is going to be something. He's special. So, without me saying any more, let me introduce Aaron to you. And please welcome Aaron with the typical Gateway fashion.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Okay. I really want to thank a lot of people today. I don't want to make it last too long. But I do want to thank Dennis a lot because this Pentecost, this transformation that I'm going to be talking about today is very, very contingent on me and Dennis's relationship. Like he said, when I was younger, I was it's very true. Very true. I was very, very cocky. I was very arrogant. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I was not walking in my identity. I wasn't walking in any purpose or anything, really. I was walking in scared. I was walking a scared life of not knowing where I was going. And I had built up a lot of walls to protect myself from being hurt. I was very angry, and all these things worked together to make me overcompensate my inferiority with cockiness to make it look like I was more than I was, and that didn't really work, but that's the way I worked. But he's very true. I was very arrogant, and that's how I carried myself, and to have him say that I walk with humility now is something, because I still see remnants of the old me. If you ask some of the youth, if you ask some of the people, Jacob and some of these guys, I still carry that with me sometimes just for fun. But honestly, when I play basketball, still softball, you know, it still comes out a little bit. But I think it's true. The Lord is doing an amazing work in me, and it's not me. I want to make sure that's said. It's not me at all. Yes. Let's just go. Well, my passion for everything that I do, I'll just share that first, is to just build up this body, and not just this body, but the body in general. I love each and every one of you. I need you guys to understand you guys don't understand what I see sometimes, and you guys don't understand what you guys mean to me. I'm very I'm very, not really needy, but like I really grasp a lot of your love. I grasp your prayers, and I really grasp onto that because, especially in this stage of my life, I'm in a realm of really trusting God, and sometimes that doesn't look steady down here. So I'm really thankful to have good people around me to really keep lifting me up and really keep praying for me and allowing me to kind of figure this thing out slowly but surely. And I'm really thankful for that and just the encouragement that I have. And everyone that came up to me, especially even just this morning, just saying, look, I'm praying for you. It means so much. And I love this body. I remember a guy got up a couple years ago, and I remember saying how awesome this body was. And we were going through some stuff. This had nothing to do with a couple, recently. But I just remember we were going through some things, and there was some, you know, some friction. And I just remember saying, God, man, I just love this church. And as broken and as weird as we are sometimes, I just want us to stay together. And that was my passion then, and nothing happened yet. That was my passion then, and that's my passion now. Because guys, you have to understand that we have such an anointing on us. This church, I mean, we have this new name, the Gateway Church, you know, and I'm not, I pray. We don't say that with conceit, like we're something special, but we have to understand that he has a plan for each and every one of us. This is way at the end of my notes, but I just want to thank you because this is awesome to me because, look, every one of you has an anointing from God, an anointing from the Most High God that he needs you to fulfill to make this body what it's supposed to be and to make the outside of this church body what it's supposed to be. He needs us to go out to the highways and byways like it says, you know? That's what he wants for us. He wants us to just attack. Oh, man. Me and Clay, we love this song, Storm the Gates of Hell. And I know that sounds a little weird, but that's the attitude that we need to have, that we're going against the enemy every day and just attacking the enemy. I lived a long time letting the enemy attack me. I lived a long time inferior, like I said, a long time wondering, God, man, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through that? Man, I'm struggling with sin and I can't get out of it. I'm struggling with anger and I can't find my way out. God, what are you going to do? And I love these songs this morning. I feel as if I could have just not got up and said anything. Matt preaches every Sunday. Every Sunday through these songs. Awesome. Awesome. Anyway, let's get in my notes. Lord, I want to just thank you, Lord, for this day. I want to thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given me, Lord. And I just want to pray, Lord, that I would accurately portray that, accurately portray the vision and the anointing, Lord, that you put on my life. And Lord, today I just want to pray, Lord, that this awesome congregation would hear my heart and you would just... really prepare us, Lord, for the thing that you have for us to do on this earth and everywhere that we go. And just allow us to hear you this morning in spite of me. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, Lord, today. Amen. So my testimony is kind of touched on it a little bit. But I just want to kind of share this with you. So like around 6 years ago, I was definitely walking my own path. Like I said, I didn't really know where I was going. I was saved. Most definitely, you know, I went to my grandfather's church for many years, and he taught me good biblical principles, and like I had the knowledge. It was up here. It was. But somehow during the way, you know, I really lost my path. I remember one of the first... one of the first things I read when I was first getting turned back on was Mark 4, and it talks about the parable of the sower. And I remember likening myself to the thorny soil. I'll read it. Mark 4, verse 18, it says, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So you see, I had the knowledge, but the cares of this world, you know, the things that it wasn't him, it was me. I put these things in front of him, and I said, well, God, if you wanted me to blah, 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 you wouldn't have this here. You wouldn't have put these obstacles in my way. You wouldn't have done this to me. Now, you obviously understand that's the backwards approach to life in general. But that's the way I was. I didn't understand why God would allow these things to come up in me. I didn't understand why I went through the things that I did. But all those things, God has really, really broken me in these things, that all those things that I went through, they really made me who I am today. They've given me a heart that isn't mine, because I really see the hurting people like I was. And I see the things that the Spirit wants to do in our lives. And I just love people so much. And I think some of the reasons I get a little even, I'm actually backwards now. Now I'm sarcastic to cover up for the fact that I care so much. I think I just realized that, thanks to Jacob again. But I just want to, I'm just so thankful for the transformation that God has done in me. But anyway, these struggles that I've been talking about, they really changed me. They really put a wall up between me and God, and I struggled a long time. I really did. I was angry and stuff, and I really, the next stage in my life is when I got into MYF, and this is where Lamar and Dennis kind of got together on this, and there are no words to express how much I love these two men, because they've really formed the person that you see today, and I would not be here if it weren't for Lamar and my MYF days. There's no way around it. Like I said, I was lost, man. And Lamar, man, he put his arm around me every Wednesday night. He coached me in basketball, and he just allowed me to become the man that I was created to be, and he encouraged me to just keep going. And I don't know if he even knew it, but I know that I've spoken that to him a few times, but there really are no words, because I was really lost, and I didn't know what I was doing, and he put so much faith in me. And he lifted me up, and he said, you know what, I think, whether he realized it or not, he said, look, I want you to teach. You know, he put me in a leadership position in NYMYF, and he didn't kick me out when I got too old to be there. And he just wanted me to stay around and really continue to mentor. And the irony of that whole situation was that I was just as confused then. It's a path. But I was still, you know, struggling a lot with sin and with the sins of the flesh, and really finding out, you know, what God had for me. But luckily, you know, I had some awesome people around me, like I said. And the problem, and the thing that I keep saying over and over again is if you can somehow find that identity in Christ, if you can find your value in Christ, if you can find your purpose in this thing, it really helps with this transformation process. It helps kind of give you a vision of what it should look like and maybe how to get there. But let the record show that all the knowledge in the world is not going to get you to where you want to be unless the Spirit intercedes and fills in all those empty voids and fills in all the things that you can't control, and puts that peace that rests on us every day. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm 33 years old. I'm not where I think I should be. And it's every day that I have to say, God, I'm just thankful because you're in control and I don't have to worry about it. It's a hard road when you're not, you know, yeah, where you're thinking you should be. But again, I'm just really thankful. Again and again, I'm going to say it, and you're going to get tired of hearing it. But I'm just so thankful for the transformation that God and only God could have done in me. So anyway, also, about 5-6 years ago, I think it was cool how Pastor Mike Williams was here last week, and Lyle and all his awesomeness said, "Oh, I hope you have you definitely have your work cut out for you," because he really threw the gauntlet down, if you will. And I love Pastor Mike, and he's also meant a lot to me since, you know, I got turned back on and got really saved for real, and had this transformation start in my spirit, and really helped me see the possibilities, if you will. I want to share a little bit of a story. I went to his church about 5 years ago, and this is the kind of the foundation a little bit of my Pentecost experience as far as the way I relate to the Spirit falling on me, is that I went to his church, and I knew the Lord had something planned for that day. I really did, and I remember I could have gone to a NASCAR race. It was my birthday, and I remember saying, "Man, I've never been to a race, and I really like to go." But in my spirit, I knew I needed to go to Pastor Mike's church, and I did. And I just want to share that experience with you, because I went, and it was awesome. It really was. The service was good. And then all of a sudden, this prophet got up, and he's a very, very anointed man. He got up, and he said, you in the blue shirt, I need to come up here. I don't know what he was going to do. Man, I was scared. I'm not going to lie. This is my first time in a black church. I don't know what they're going to do. Anyway, so he pulled me up there, and he said, "Man of God, put your hands up." I said, "Oh, no, this is not good. I'm not going to lie. I'm new to this." You know what I mean? So he said, "Put your hands up." And man, he poured into me for a solid 5 minutes. "Man of God, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. This is this. Walk in your anointing, blah, blah, blah." He was like, awesome. I'm not going to lie. I can't remember the things he said, because it was unreal in my mind. I really was trying to soak it all in. And like I said, it stuck with me, because as I look back now, 5 years later, I know the change, the transformation that happened on that day. Man, I walked into that place happy. I was happy to be saved. You understand where I'm going with this? I was happy to be able to say, "God, I have assurance knowing that I'm going to spend eternity with you." And I was fine with that. I really was. I was rolling. I was like, yes, I'm not sinning anymore. I mean, you know, I'm not sinning anymore. I'm not in the same ways. Like, you've done a mighty work. Thank you, God. Man, when I left the church that day, I said, "Oh, shoot, God, you have so much more. Dag on it. I thought I was doing it, but he has so much more." Man, the Spirit, whether I realized it or not, was on me that day. And I remember walking out of there saying, "We got to go, you know? We got work to do." And it's an everyday striving to be more like Jesus, you know? And it's not good enough to be, "I'm sorry. Guys, I love you, but sometimes I get a little drastic and stuff. So if I say anything that rubs you the wrong way, I do apologize, because I love you. I really do. But I'm going to tell you, it's not good enough to come to church every Sunday, to sit in the pews, and to just say, 'God, I did my part for this week.' Guys, we got to walk through this every day. This isn't just a one day a week thing. This is an everyday striving after Jesus, looking at what he's trying to do in our lives, and allowing him to work through us. You see, there's been a lot of times in my life that I've been okay and comfortable with where I am. I've been okay with my lot in life, and I've said, 'God, this is good enough.' Not anymore, guys. Not anymore, Lord. He put this word in my spirit, and he put this anointing on me to just, I don't know, yell it from the rooftops how much he loves us and how much he wants to just work in every aspect of our lives. Guys, it's hard for me, and that's why I get a little bit passionate. It's hard for me to see people that walked in mediocrity. It's hard for me to see because I know the work that he's done in my life, and therefore, why would he not want to do that for you? Why would he not want to just smack me in the face like he did? You know what I mean? Why would he not do that for everyone? Guys, he doesn't love me any more than he does you. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you. He wants to do just as much or more in you as he's ever done in me. That's his will for each one of us. Let's walk this thing out every day. I was in my devotions the other day. I'm not going to lie. I was crying like a little girl because he poured into me this thought about my value in him. I knew who I was. I knew the price that was paid. But I didn't have an iota of an idea how much, man, his love poured on me that night, and I was just a wreck. He was telling me things like, man, you know, that parable of the sheep, you know, that was about you. You know, I left the 99, and I came searching for you. Before the foundations of the world, it says in Ephesians 1, he chose me. And he knew the path I was going to take. He told me the other night, he said, when we were getting ready, I know this isn't theologically sound. I apologize. But this is the vision that he gave me. He said, God, he said, before the foundations of the world, he said, I was there. He said, Jesus was there. Spirit was there. And he said, look at Aaron. This is what we're going to do in him. This is the plan I have for him. Look at, yeah, he's going to go through some times. Yeah, he's going to turn away. He's going to go his own path. But man, wait. Look at what he's going to become. Look at the heart that he's going to have. Man, I'm not there yet. But look at where he is now, you know? And look at the things. Look at what he cares about. Look at what he's going to do. And that's, you know, that's, this isn't a work-based religion, but look at his heart. And I had this realization as I was sitting there and journaling, and the best part was he said, he looked at Jesus and he said, and this is for each one of us, it's not just for me. But he looked at Jesus and he said, you know, this is going to cost you your life. You know, this is going to cost you everything. And Jesus said, yeah, man. If it's just for him, I'll do that. You know, that's his heart for us. You know, he's going to do that. That's what he wants to do. It says in Hebrews 12:2 that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For his joy, he endured it. Thinking of each one of us, as he was up on the cross, he said, yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, I wanted to do this. You know, he prayed to God before in the garden. He said, if it's your will that he take it from me, please do. He knew better. He knew the path that he had. And he knew he was going to die for each and every one of us. And he did it with joy. A lot of the, I'm hopping around a lot, I apologize. But a lot of the, my transformation in this thing is had a lot to do with the change in my identity. That was huge. I went to a couple conferences with where Brian Conley was for each and those of you that were here for that conference, you completely understand what Brian Conley is and what I'm not. But irregardless, I'm so thankful for his word over each and every time that I've seen him. Like just the way that he pours out the Father's love, and that it just shines from his face. You can tell how much he loves God first and foremost. But he loves to share his heart. And the thing that he just kept telling me, not directly to me, but just telling me was, look, if you just know who you are, imagine what we can accomplish. If you can understand how much I love you, then this is what can happen. And one of the first, let the record show, I love Romans 8. So if it were my will, I'd probably just preach out of that every Sunday. But the main thing that caught me at that time was Romans 8:15. It says that we're no longer slaves to sin. I'll read it for real. I'm sorry. Anyway. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You see, if we read that verse and don't come out thinking, yeah, it's okay to still be in sin. Yeah, it's okay for me to just live my life the way that I like to and I want to, then I'm sorry to say, I think we've missed it. You know, that was a big time for me when I said, God, so you're telling me you don't see me as my sins deserve. You don't see me the way that I see myself, but somehow you see me through the blood of Jesus. So now I can walk the rest of my life and never look back? Wait, I can just stop, you know what I mean? Just put a line in the sand and say, all right, now I'm going to go? That's like this get-out-of-jail-free card that we know we never want to talk about, but it's true, you know? We can't have that cheap grace mentality, but at the same time, we have to understand that the price has been paid. We don't have to go back there anymore. You know, how about that? You know, we don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You know, we're sons. This is who we are. This is our identity. We are sons of the Most High God, and we can walk in strength and power knowing that he's anointed us to do a work. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." 1 John 2:6, it says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." You see, if we're in Christ, we're brand new. We're not the same people we used to be. We're not going to walk the same way we used to. We're not going to look at life the same way. And to take it a step further, we know we're not going to walk in sin anymore. It says that sin has no reign in our bodies anymore. You know, that's the promise that he's given us. So the call is to be like Jesus. And that's obviously a hard path, but that's the call that he has on us. And I'm gonna read Jesus, quote unquote, it's not ever in the Bible that it says this, but like his Holy Spirit falling on Jesus, that's what I wanted to read today. Matthew 3, verse 13 to 17. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him." Guys, Jesus didn't have to be baptized. He didn't. He didn't have sin. He didn't need to go down in the water and come up brand new. He did it to set a precedent for what we needed to do, to give us an outward like vision of what it looks like to come out of that water brand new. And I remember it was awesome. I went to, I continue to still call her Mrs. Biggs, even though she was never my teacher. But I went to her house this weekend, and she left me a little note, and she said, "Here, I have this video of your baptism." And I was like, that's kind of cool. So I watched it. Man, I tell you what, that's powerful stuff. Like, I was there. But when I watched it, I was like, man, God, it did such a work in me that I can imagine every time I see it, you go in the water and you come back up white as snow. That vision just sticks with me every time. Anyway, verse 14. John would have prevented him saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." See, there was a Jesus was God, all God and all human. And he knew the anointing he had on his life. And if I'm wrong, please tell me. But as he went into that water and he came up, I believe the same transformation happened in his life. Like he was a carpenter, you know what I mean? He was a carpenter's son. He was walking the life of a carpenter. And then when he got out of that water, man, he was new. The Spirit fell like a dove, and it was brand new, you know? And it doesn't say that, you know, he went back to the boats like his disciples did. Like it was new, and he ran with it, you know? And the transformation happened right then and there. In the next chapter, it goes on to, you know, how the enemy, Satan himself, came and tempted him. And he put himself in that, you know, fasting, hungry state, and he was weak, you know, and he had the Spirit with him to strengthen him. And I understand, I saw the picture as I was doing this, but the devil did everything he could because he saw what was about to happen. You know, the devil is not all-knowing. He doesn't see everything. Obviously, if he did, he wouldn't have rejoiced when Jesus was on the cross. But he saw the ministry. He saw what was going to happen, and he tried his best. It was his last-ditch effort to come in and try to steal, you know, Jesus' ministry before it started. But anyway, in the next chapter, obviously you know, his ministry began. And it says, and I think it's Matthew 4, it says that the word that was on his heart and on his lips from day one was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And to me, when I thought about this, man, it just creates this urgency in my spirit. Because, I mean, that was 2,000 years ago. But guess what? And the whatever, you know how Tim did that long rope of time, and it's not that long, you know? So we really need to have that sense of urgency. And I'm very comfortable with the thought of this, because I remember thinking when I first got, you know, back into really seeking and searching after God, I remember saying, God, I've wasted 6-7 years. I've wasted all this time. God, please let me, you know, it's, you know, not the right thought process, but Lord, just let me back in, you know, and I'll do my best. You know what I mean? Like that's the way that we think, you know what I mean? But I had this sense of urgency that said, look, I know that this is the fact, and I know that God brought me through all this for a reason. But now I'm here. Let's fight it out. Let's go for it with all that we have. And that really created this urgency in me. And then it says in Acts, I want to read a little bit out of Acts, that and we talked about a little bit this morning, but Acts 2, when, you know, the Spirit falls, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And see, to me, I see this picture of the fire coming down. And I understand that in my own life, when that fire comes down, there's a refining that goes on. You know, he burns up every idle thing. Everything that's not of him needs to go. So it's an eventual process of a burning, a handing over and a burning of these things that don't belong here. And I felt that in my spirit, that this is the work that he does in each one of us. It's a refining process. And even taking, like I've shared this 1,000 times, taking the gifts that we have. Like, I love playing sports. And I love hanging out with our youth. I love these things. But if I do them in my own strength, then it's all a waste. There's no need in it, you know? I'm a clanging cymbal, as it says, you know what I mean? I can have all the right minds and I can do the right things, but it's just a waste if it's not backed up by what he's trying to do. I was crashed this week by this guy. Gave me a vision of standing in the throne one day and him just kind of walking in this thing while I was in my way, and he was like, I can't fathom being able to stand up there and him say, God, Aaron, I had all these things that I wanted you to do. You just fell short. You know what I mean? And that's, we're going to have an answer for the choices that we make. And I just, that thought just wrecks me, because I want to do everything I can to please him. You know what I mean? He's given us, I mean, he paid the ultimate price. Now it's our job to kind of reflect that love back on him, you know? And I think that a lot of what I struggle with is just not reflecting that love properly. That's the cry that's on my heart, is to just make him proud of me. And that was my prayer all last night when I was struggling with, you know, really figuring out what he wanted me to share this morning. It was, man, God, I just want you to be proud of me. Man, I just don't want to let you down. I just want to accurately portray the word that you put on me. So that's my cry for today. And anyway, so in Acts, you know, the fire falls and the Spirit falls on that place. And I think that's awesome. But the word that the Lord gave me on this is that wasn't the end. You know what I mean? The Spirit came and the tongues came. But that wasn't the end of the story, you know. They didn't just say, all right, great, I got tongues now, I can go home. You know what I mean? Or the manifestation was there. But that was just the beginning, guys. You know, he wanted this community. It says in Acts 2, verses 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and the belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number by day those who were being saved. You understand, there was a change, a transformation that happened in each one of their hearts. You know, they didn't walk around the same way as they did. They said, all right, now that we have this, what are we going to do with it? You know, we have the Spirit. What are we going to do with it? How is that going to change our lives? Is it going to make us more like Jesus? Is it going to, you know, give us, you know, more heart for people around us? Is it going to want to make us, you know, shout from the rooftops? One of my favorite stories, or one of my favorite people in Scripture, is Stephen in Acts 6 and 7. And it talks about how he was full of faith. You know, he was full of the Spirit. He was full of grace and power. He did all these signs and wonders. And he would discuss, you know, with the leaders and the Pharisees. And they couldn't withstand his wisdom and his Spirit. And it says his face shone like an angel. See, that picture is what, it just creates this urgency and it creates this fire in me to say, guess what, guys? I'm not there yet. And I don't look at Stephen and say, yeah, Stephen was a special person and that'll never be me. Maybe that's true. But I think it's our job to aspire to be like these men of God. I love the story of Moses when he says, you know, he had this face-to-face relationship with God. They talked face to face like a man speaks to his friend. And God, I aspire to that. That's what I want. And when I first read that scripture a couple years ago, I said, man, that's crazy. I mean, I hope that happens, but I don't know how it's going to look. Guys, guess what? And every morning I sit down with my Bible. Every morning I sit down with my journal. God speaks into my life. And I'm telling you, he wants to speak into each one of your lives. He doesn't just sit up there on his throne and say, Chalk, I hope you do your best today. Good luck, buddy. He doesn't go and just say, guys, I hope you do this thing right because I'm counting on you. Dude, he's sitting right here with me saying, go get him, son. Just go get him. Just do your best. You know what I mean? I love you so much. And every morning I sit down with my journal and he just feeds my spirit. And he tells me how much he loves me. And he tells me how much I make him proud. And he tells me just these inner things that he just fills up my spirit. Because, guys, it's not easy for me, you know, to live in a house all by myself. You know, all my friends are, you know, married and doing their own things. And I have a job. But it's hard for me to really live life when I'm in this spirit of, man, I don't know where I'm going. But I say all that to get me to this point, and this is completely foreign to what I thought my sermon was going. But I'm just so happy that I can sit here in front of you guys knowing that you love me, and then I can just stand here and say, God, man, I trust you with everything that I am, and that, you know, my life doesn't look like I wish it would, or it doesn't look like I thought it would. But I just want to share with you this very important thing is that in my alone time, I mean, my life of aloneness, but I have so much time. I have so much time to spend with him. I have so much time to spend with the youth. I have so much time. I mean, he's opened up so many doors because I don't have anything else to do. It's awesome. I don't. The coaches called me up for basketball, and he's like, hey, we need some help with this. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, I might as well. And I underscore that. I love basketball, so I wanted to do it. But in the end of the day, it was, well, you know, God, thank you for opening up this door, you know? And the door was not there. Like, they had plenty of coaches, but they just needed me for this night. And I said, okay, I can do it. And then all of a sudden, hey, you coming next week? I said, yeah, sure. So it's good. And he's opening up these doors with basketball. And then he opened up, well, before that, you know, he opened up this opportunity with the youth. And guys, how awesome is our youth? Let me tell you. Dude, I remember sharing with them how, man, when I was in the youth, I mean, I've told you how I was in the youth. But when I was in the youth, everything was this way, and it was fun, man. We went to Lamar's, we played basketball, and we had a pool table, and guys, it was fun times. Don't get me wrong, you know, we shared the word. It was good, but I feel like the spirit was a little bit different back then. I'll tell you, my spirit was not the same as these guys are right now. They aspire to pray for each other every single Wednesday. They don't allow. Wendy last week was like, well, we'll just pray for everyone. All of a sudden, we had been disbanded, and all of a sudden, like, 10 girls went, done. They were praying for each other, and we didn't even ask them to. Look, this is the spirit that we have in our youth, and it's awesome to me to just be a part of it. It's not me. I'm not the one doing it. All I know is I can stand there and say, guys, I just, you know, I want to pray for them. You know, that's pretty much the end of me, you know? And just to be able to spend the time with the youth. Guys, let me tell you. When I was asked this last cycle to teach 7th and 8th grade Sunday school class, I said, oh, no. Oh, no. I said, I'm good with the older gentleman. I had taught like Matt and Vince and Cody and Jed and Andrew Chupp and all those a couple years ago. And that was awesome. I mean, that really prepared me for where I am exactly right now. But in general, just really digging into the word and doing all those things. And it really prepared me. But when they asked me to do 7th and 8th grade, I said, oh, no. What can I tell them? You know, what do I have to say? You know, I can't preach that same sermon. You know, I can't really do that. And I went into it the first day, and man, I tell you what, man, them girls, especially Andrew's there too, and that, don't get me wrong, but man, them girls encourage me so much. Man, we have so much fun. Every Sunday morning, we just sit there, man, we talk about Veggie Tales. I don't know what we talk about, but every single time, I come out of there just refreshed and renewed and just thinking, God, why do you choose to bless me like this? And then I get talking, and I get talking to their parents, and they tell me things like, hey, you really mean a lot to these kids. And I say, I don't do anything. I just sit there and hang out with them. But they know that you care. And I said, well, that's the one thing I have. I can do that. So I say that because I'm so thankful that in my place of, you know, unrest, you could say, that he's filled my life with so much awesome things. He's filled my life up so full that I can't even explain it. Like every little thing that he adds to my life just picks me up and takes me to a new place. I want to share two more little stories and then I'll get out of your way. A couple years ago, and this is, it just speaks to why I'm standing here. A couple years ago, I had a, and this is also, Dennis actually averted to it a little bit, but a couple years ago, I was talking to Dennis, and I said, it's really a shame, and it's not the right way to say it, but it's really a shame that my grandfather had all girls. I mean, I have one uncle, but I said, you know, my grandfather had like eight girls, and I said, no one picked up this mantle of his, and I said, you know, that's, I understand what you're doing, but it'd kind of be cool if you could, you know, he could pass that down to someone. So anyway, I talked to Dennis, and I was like, Dennis, what do you think about this? And he said, oh, you know, I'll pray about it. So he talked to me like the next week, because we met every Tuesday night. He talked to me the next week, and he said, well, Aaron, I'll just tell you this. You have a heart for prayer. You have a heart for this and this, but I just don't think that this is really your thing. I just don't think that's what your calling is. And I said, oh, okay. And I left it there. I really did. I left it there and I said, all right, well, I'll walk in quote unquote what I'm good at. Like, I love praying for people. So I just went with that. And all of a sudden I went to a conference a little while ago, and for you that remember Lori that was here, she's really awesome. But she prophesied over me, and she said her and her friend, they both were like, I just see ministry. And I see, the one lady said, I just see a preaching prophet. And I said, oh no. Because I had my life set up. I was comfortable over here just doing my own little thing. But that word kind of stirred this thing up in me. And I said, well, maybe this is what he wants. Maybe this is something that maybe he can work into. And I'm not telling you right this day that I'm someday going to be some evangelist or anything, or if I'm going to have my own church. No, I just know that he put this fire in me to share his heart with you. And I feel like that's his call on me. I remember a couple years ago we had a Bible study at the Davises. And Jessica's awesome. She's like this blowing breeze and she's all over the place. But the way that she works is insane. She said, you know what I want to do tonight? She said, I just want to have everyone get in a circle one at a time. We're just going to pray for them. I said, oh, okay, this is fun. So I got in the circle and everyone's prayed for me. It was awesome. And all of a sudden, Jess goes, well, I feel like the Lord's telling you that you're a sponge. And I said, all right. Sounds great. You know, sponge, all right. She said, you know, the Lord's going to pour into you. And then you're going to be so full that you can't help but just shake it off, and it's just going to go on everyone else. And I said, this is a good word. I love this. Because that's my heart. Because that doesn't create any work on me. I just have to sit here in a place of rest and say, God, I'm just going to accept it. Pour into me. And then I'm just going to shake it. And then we're going to have people just blessed. And I'm going to say, yes. No, that is not the right vision of what this story looks like. And no. But that was the ease that I trained. I said, man, this is good. Because that's all I want. I want to just say, God, I'm going to spend time with you every day. I'm going to read your word. I want to just listen to your voice. And if you share anything with me, yeah. let me just share it with everyone I come in contact with, you know? Whether it's by Facebook, man, some of my best, the things that God tells me, I just put on Facebook and I just say, God, you know, just let someone read it and let someone be blessed by this because it's not me. Like everything I put, I'm telling you right now, every word I put on Facebook as far as like, hey, this is what the Lord told me. That's what the Lord told me. It's not me speaking. I'm telling you this. You could look at my journal and it would say word for word what I put on there. It's not me. So I love the fact that he pours into me and I can pour into others. So anyway, so that was an awesome thing. But that kind of speaks to kind of the shift that was going on. Anyway, so I have no idea how I got there. But anyway, so I remember thinking that I wish that I could have picked up this mantle for my grandfather. Like he said, you know, he was a Mennonite pastor at Trestwood for 30 years. And I just wish that I could be half the man that he is. And he's still with us, so I'm awesome in that. And the reason I say that is because when I was really pondering over this and I started getting these words of affirmation about maybe this could be, you know, something that God's blessing you with, I said, well, I know the first trip I'm making over is to my grandfather's house because the only thing I want is everything he had. I just want to be like him. You know, when I was struggling my whole life, I had my grandfather 20 feet away where, nah, man, I didn't go over there like I wanted to. But I always knew he was there, and I always knew he loved me, and he held our family together, you know what I mean? So I'm just so thankful to have him with me, and I'm so thankful that he's here today because, man, I'm here because of him, you know? And apparently I say that a lot. But I'm really here because of him. So like a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, I remember he was in the hospital, and the Lord laid it on my heart strong. He said, you've got to go talk to Grandpa. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So I went over there and I said, Grandpa, I just want to talk to you. You know, I want to see what your ministry was like. You know, what got you into this? And what is the word that God put on your heart a lot? And I said, okay. You know, and we just talked a lot. But the word that that the Lord gave me was, you need to pray for, you need to have him pray for you. And I said, okay. And I was reading about Elijah and Elisha and how Elisha went to Elijah and he said, I want you to pray for me and I want a double portion of what you have. And that's the spirit that God put on me. And I said, Grandpa, I said, I just want you to pray for me. And I don't know if this is what the Lord's doing, but all I know is this, you're not going to be here forever. And I would just want you to pour into me everything that you have and just put... If you were to see a shirt and just put the mantle that you have, just put it on me if you will, and I just pray that I can affect lives, you know, the way that you did. And so that's what I did. And he prayed for me and it was so awesome. And I just love the fact that I can walk this thing out every day. And the other thing that I'm going to end it with was, you know, when I was going through my struggle, and this is my story, and I love it. When I was going through my struggle, I remember coming out on the other side, and I said, God, I said, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know what it looks like. But I know that you love me, and I know that you have plans for me. And I remember thinking of myself like the prodigal son. I said, God, if you just let me back in the house, I'll do whatever you want. But when I talked to him, He said, Aaron, I don't want you to be just a servant in my house. I don't want you to just be hanging around. He said, I created you in the foundations of the world to do these things. This is what I want you to do. And just because you walked away doesn't mean that I don't want you to still do those things. I knew what you were going to do. So he told me, he said, Aaron, you are just as anointed now as you've ever been. I didn't steal any of those anointings away from you. I didn't give them to anybody else. You have them to do. You need to do these things. Now go. And I said, okay, I'll go. So I say that because that's my encouragement to every one of you, that he has an anointing that he wants you to fulfill. He has a fire that he's put in each of us to serve him. And a word that he's given us to just shout from the rooftops. And he wants us to just serve him. And he wants us to just run after him with all of our hearts. And to realize who we are in him. And to understand the value that we have. That he gave it all just so we can walk around here and be blessed. You know, this world is set up very opposite, you know, to the way it should be. You know, we're taught our whole lives to just me, and this is what it's all about. But if we can have that transformation happen in our spirit, that, man, God, I just want to do everything for you, and I just want to love you with all of my heart. Guys, I have a lot of issues with telling people that I love them, which is ironic because every time I pray for someone, I say it. But I really have an issue because it's a deep-seated thing about being hurt and stuff. But in the last couple months, like, I've really found an assurance in my spirit that I couldn't understand how I could say, God, I love you, you know? And it hurts because I was like, well, I don't act like it. You know, I don't live that way. I don't live like I do. But in the past couple months, he's really given me that spirit of assurance and sonship. So, like, man, I was praying last night, and I was like, God, I said, I just want to serve you, and I just want to do everything I can to lift your name high. And I just want to preach and have people just look at you and say, man, I'm glad I was able to see you today, because that Aaron, he's a wreck, you know? but anyway, I'm just so thankful for where he has me, and I'm thankful, Lord, that I can stand here and just say, man, God, I'm just so in love with the Lord today. And I pray that through all my rantings and ravings, you could understand my heart, that you could see the awesome move that the Lord's done in my life. And my prayer for every day and for each of you is that you would just walk in his anointing and really grasp that thing that he's trying to do in our lives. Matt, I guess you can come. I'm going to open this thing up for prayer. Dennis, if you wanted to come up too. Obviously the thing that I love the most, and any anointings that I have in preaching, is, at least at this point, is a strong fourth place to how much I love praying for people, which would be the first three places. I'm just so thankful for the word that he's put on my heart, and I'm thankful for the thing that he's put in me. So you know, as we go into our ministry/prayer time, my hope is that, you know, I can just pour into one person, anybody. You know what I mean? That's my prayer, that something that I said in all of this was somehow turned and kindled in your spirit, something that God's trying to lay on you or anything. So as we get going, I just want to pray that if you have anything to put down, you know, I know the Jesus' his whole sermon was just repentance and being more like him and just knowing who we are. So that's, if you have something to lay down, if you just want more, you know, of the Spirit, if you want that fire, you know, to fall on you, to just yearn and to never grow cold and never grow old, I just pray that you would come up, and I would love to pray for every one of you. I got nowhere to go, and I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to just share my heart, and hopefully I can do it again sometime. Thanks, guys. I love you.
Good job. Good job, buddy. As we go into prayer time, some of the things that Aaron touched on, one of the things, and it goes with today, is about the prophecy and people speaking words over people. And when Lori prayed for Aaron up at Global and prayed for him, and that word from the Lord plants a seed in the heart, is what happens. Then there's a shifting that takes place in the heavenlies that we don't understand because we're not part of the heavenlies, but our spirit is. And then there's a shifting that takes place. And then there's a shifting that takes place in him, and he changes, and his heart becomes like fertile soil for the words of God that Lori planted there, and that then things change, and there's a shifting that takes place. That was the word I had for Aaron last week, that the words he referred to that I spoke to him a couple years ago, that there was a shifting in the heavenlies over him, and that everything had changed, and that the anointing was new and different, and he was moving into a new area, and that's what had happened, that everything had changed. And it's not one person, it's not two people, but it's the body of Christ coming together. And that's the importance of the Holy Spirit pouring out on our lives and changing things. So let us go into prayer. And if you need prayer, if you need a word from the Lord, please come forward. Let Aaron pray for you. Let somebody pray for you. If there's anybody that needs prayer for healing, please come forward. And let someone pray for you and touch your life. Don't be satisfied with the status quo, please. This is not about the natural. This is about the supernatural. Come up here and let's pray about a change in your life, a change, a shifting. It don't have to stay the way it is. It can change. It can change, and it will change with prayer. Come on forward.
Let's stand.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy.